It's only on Saturday because...
Because you playing the music.
Yeah. But on Wednesday, you ain't got to.
Okay. I'm going to sip a little bit now. I better
wait. It's good.
It may run me, you ain't going to run me out of here in 30 minutes.
Oh, well, no.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Let's pray and we jump right in this. Father, God, we glorify you. We bless your name for all that you do. And we just thank you for just the wisdom that you have, and you impart that wisdom in us. And we thank you for that. Just give us understanding on tonight and bless us to put that understanding in action. In the name of Yahushua, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, now, the lesson is interesting. Is interesting tonight in reference to you know what we're gonna deal with. Y'all give scriptures as we go, cause this is just kind of, you know, straight off the press, so to speak. Like the majority of them are. But there's an angle that I want to discuss in reference to. You know, we dealt with a few lessons about faith, you know, trusting in Yah and stuff like that. But there's an angle that I want to approach tonight, and the reason why, you know, I just kind of got amazed. Last night I was talking to my daughter Mahaya, and she reminded me of some things that I imparted into her, and some methods by which Deanna and I went through when she was sick. She was diagnosed with dermatomyositis, which is kind of like a sister of, I believe, the lupus, and it attacks the autoimmune system. It happened to you when you was what? How old?
17.
Yes. Okay. 17. So, and you dealt in out of hospital what, about 3 years, 3 years or so. And y'all gave us so much favor with the doctor. I believe his name was Dr. Panera. And you need to get a chance to get by there and let her see the kids if she's still there. and you know, because she had said she didn't know she would ever be able to have kids and things like that. You know, based upon the illness and stuff, and so, you know, here we are. She don't have it, any signs of it. They were saying it was something that she was going to deal with all of her life. Well, you know, as you can see, that's not the case. But it was so bad that when she would swallow, it would come out of her nose. We'd go somewhere and eat, or she'd eat here at the house, and she'd swallow it. Whatever she would swallow would come out of her nose. And she got to the point where she couldn't walk on her own, kind of crawl around and stuff like that, and just a lot of different things was happening to her as far as her physical body was concerned. Well, when we were talking last night, she said this, and when she said it, I immediately I didn't rebuke her, but I rebuked it. I immediately rebuked it, and y'all corrected me, and I'm going to tell you what I'm about to say. I'm going to tell you what I meant from saying that. She was saying, she said, well, Dad, she said, you know, what y'all did with me and healing me and the process by which you took me, she was like, and you much more important than I am. And she was like, you know, and y'all brought me, he brought me, you know, through and brought me out of it. And things like that. So when she said I was more important than she was, I was looking at it from my perspective, and I was like, no, I'm not. You know? I'm like, no, you're more important than I am. Y'all said to you, she's more important than you are, because your family are in it. You know, everything is important, more important to you than it is to yourself, you know, especially when it deals with ministry and, you know, the church family and, you know, our project and different things like that. It's like all those things are more important to me than me. That's my perspective. So when she said I was looking at it from that angle, y'all was like, no, you got to hear what she's saying. She's saying to me, what I've called you to do is so vitally important that your role is different, you know, than hers. And she's saying that from a perspective of what's important to me in reference to that, in comparing, you know, herself and you. And so I was like, okay, I get it. And so she went on, and as she was talking, I started to think about all the things that that she went through. She went through some tough times. You know, we went through some tough times. There was a lot of time, you know, be sitting up in the hospital. When you sit up in the hospital, you know, looking at your baby, and ain't nothing you can do. You know, you just have to go through the processes and things like that. And so, so I'm sitting there, and as she's talking, I'm laughing on the inside, but I'm not letting her know it because I'm like, look, I've taught this girl for 29 years of her life. You know, she's 29. I've imparted into her for 29 years of her life. Now she's turning around and, so to speak, regurgitating what I taught her. And she's reminding me of principles that I instilled in her about, you know, no matter what, you continue to walk by faith. You continue to keep your trust in Yah. And no matter what it takes, you always, or we always, should keep our trust in Yah. Now, here's the angle that she pointed out that it reminded me of. And we talked about it, but I just never approached it from this angle because I've never had to look at it myself personally. And so what Yah did was use her to allow me to perceive, understand even more clearer what I had imparted into her, because she had went through that process. And so when you look at me, I've never been sickly or anything like that. The only encounter I had in the hospital is when I broke my shoulder when I was a sophomore in high school. Other than that, nothing. You know, I had 12 fingers. Everybody didn't know that. I had 12 fingers and got them cut off when I was 3. That was another deal. But I'm talking about nothing that was health-wise. You know, it caused me to have to go in for health reasons. Well, she went through that process, and so she was able to see an angle that I had never seen before, couldn't relate. Don't ever think that you can relate to something better than sometime. Wait a minute, let me back up. Don't ever think you can relate to something because of knowledge when somebody can relate to it because of experience. Okay? We can relate to a certain point. That's why, you know, and I just saw a flash. That's why when it comes down to even what my sister's going through as far as my nephew was concerned, I can relate to a certain perspective because that was my nephew. And I love him dearly, but I can't relate as a parent losing a child. That's an experience I don't have, and so I can't relate to it in the way by which she can relate to it. I can just encourage her and just say, okay, we got to continue to press forward even in the process. You know, I love him too, but your experience and my experience is different from that perspective. And I got to be touched with the feeling of her infirmities on that. And then at the same time, I have to keep her encouraged and keep her strong and moving forward and don't get stuck there. Okay, so Hyatt going through this ordeal for these years, you said it was 3 years, right? And y'all was working so wonderful that when you get a certain age, it was Scott is Right, wasn't it? Yeah, when you get a certain age at Scott is Right Hospital, it's for children. You have to come out of that program. That woman stood up to the board of that hospital, all the people that had power over her, and she was like, I am not letting her go until she's better the way that I want her to be. And she stood up to all those people, and they bagged off and let her do what she do. Okay. And so, you know, and so to see all those processes, and then to see how Yah was working, you know, it was just, you know, very encouraging. And sometimes we leave her, you know, we leave her there by herself. She's like, "Hey, Daddy, you know, I'm fine. You can go ahead and leave," and stuff like that. And y'all was just showing favor the whole time. Just so much favor. It was ridiculous. The whole hospital was crazy about it. The whole hospital was crazy about us as a family because we were very, very appreciative of what they were doing, and they were responding accordingly. You know, you'd be surprised how many folks can go to a hospital and just mess up everything. You know, and that's why we were very careful about who came to the hospital, who was dealing with her, because we wanted to keep her faith in Yah strong, and we didn't want people, you know, speaking of here, I have an aunt, I'm not going to call her name, because I love her, but I had an aunt that was going around saying that she was dying and all this kind of stuff. I didn't need that aunt speaking in my daughter's ear. And so that's why I was very careful about who was coming to the hospital and different things like that. And so that has a perspective to it. But at the same time, I like to let people know what's going on with me. Because that's just where my faith is. I don't believe that someone's negative words or doubt can change me, can change my perspective, because I trust y'all. But she was a child, and so because she was a child, I was like, I gotta protect my child, and I can't let anybody impart anything into her, because her faith is still increasing. She, you know, she's not mature, and somebody can damage it if I let the wrong person go in there and deal with her, and I'm not there to be a shield to that. Okay, but now with me, I share with anybody. So if a person go around and say, "I think Pastor dying," whatever, man, that don't affect me none. Because my faith is that strong. And I think the issue with us as pastors, and the reason why it's so discouraging when something happened to us, is because we are always undercover. You get these preachers, they get sick, and then it been sick for years. Then all of a sudden, when it's bad enough where everybody know, people are in shock. And their faith is shaking because that preacher has his image to hold up. So he's going around there, or she's going around there like they're God on earth and don't realize they're just human. And then when folks finally realize it, first thing, you mentioned it, bro, before I left. First thing, you know, people start saying, "Well, shoot, God must not have been with him then." No, we all go through something. We all go through different tests and different trials and things like that. And we as leaders need to be transparent enough and mature enough spiritually and have enough faith in Yah to be able to share our experiences with people to encourage them. Say, "You know what? Preacher's standing. I can stand in mine too." The reason why nobody is standing in there is because the preacher is hiding his, and then when it happened to him, their faith is shaking, or when it's happening to the congregation, they don't know what to do because they're not able to look at someone. Remember when y'all said this? He said, "Show them how to walk by faith." They're not able to look at someone who is strong in their faith and say, "You know what? I got this. I got that. I got all these other issues. But since Pastor is holding on, then I'm going to use him as a witness that I can hold on and continue to walk too." How many preachers do we know that something has happened to and we were shocked? And it kind of messed us up. Because we were like, "Dog, man, that was the man of God. That was the woman of God. That was somebody who doing awesome work for Yah." And then this happened. It messes people's minds up. So what I've learned how to do is be different from that perspective and say, "Look, okay, this is what's going on. Let me discuss it. Let me encourage somebody. Let me do it in a way to where somebody can be encouraged now and become a witness for somebody else. Say, look, my pastor going through this, but we all still standing in faith. I can go through some things. I can still stand in faith." But preachers don't do that. We hide. We go to the doctor in private. We do all these different things because we're trying to uphold his image in front of people when the only thing that's perfect out there is Yah himself. So I like sharing the information and giving the information out, and at the same time, I'm mature enough where if I get anything negative, it doesn't shake my faith because I know who I am. And I know the extent by which I am willing to walk by faith, and so it doesn't bother me. But those who are weak in the faith, I understand why they may not want to share certain things. Because if somebody can start saying things and it affect their faith walk, then I understand it, okay? But I just think we need to be, as preachers, we need to be more transparent. And that'll keep people encouraged, okay? Now, again, back to my daughter. So the angle that she came at me that I hadn't considered, although we did it with her. I just didn't consider it as far as I'm concerned. She said, well, Daddy, she said, you know, I was taking treatments and I was taking the medicine. I was going through all this. She said, but I had my mind made up that I was going to even trust Yannette. When she said that, I was like, shut the front door. How many of us, we talk about it all the time. We talk about putting our trust in Yah in everything. We know this, but for the first time, I looked at it from a different angle. I was like, wait a minute. So if we can get people to understand that there may be a time you may have to take some medicine for a period of time, and you can put your trust in Yah even when you're taking that, because your trust is not in the medicine. Because she kept saying this, Daddy, can't nothing happen to you. She said, so it don't matter what the medicine will do to anybody else, it can't do it to you. And I'm sitting up and looking at her like, well, I don't like to take it. But Daddy, if you take it, what is it going to do to you? Y'all ain't through with you, so it can't hurt you. Then y'all turned the light on. He said, look at all the bad food out there. Look at all the bad water out there. Look at all the bad stuff that's in the atmosphere out there. How do you think that mankind is still standing? It's not because of the atmosphere and the food and all these other things. It is because I am on you. I said, go ahead.
That's why my ringtone for you was Mario when he got the star. He can't be killed. Whatever you call, that's how I see it. You're invisible.
And so I'm stepped down. I'm like, boy, this girl is preaching this word. She preaching it, don't even know it. And so what I want to encourage us all, that whatever is necessary and whatever y'all lead us to do, that's what we do. But our trust is not in that. Trust is not in blood pressure medicine. Trust is not in diabetes, medicine, all these other different things. The trust is not in that. There are certain things that we'll do because we have to, but Yah is the source by which we get our healing. You know, Mama Coach just made me some green juice here, and I'm gonna tie it up. And she said it helped with my digestive system, you know, and so I'm gonna drink it. Because it's just part of the process by which Yah is taking me through this ordeal right now. And so in these processes, I have to be wise enough to whichever road I end up on, I gotta trust Yah in it. Whether that's drinking this green juice, every day, or whether it's taking a blood pressure medicine, you know, every day, yes. Yes.
This session is no longer recording. Okay. Started.
As you okay, you gonna have to you, come in, man, Joshua. Come in.
I had it was a girl I had met in Scottish Rite. Her name was Molly, and she had the exact same thing.
Hold on a minute. Make sure your phone's on mute. Okay.
I had it was a girl I had met at Scottish Rite. Her name was Myra, and she had the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm. Is yours?
No.
Hold on just a minute. Wait, wait. Yeah.
I know, we know.
Yeah, I met a girl named Mara Scottish Rite, and she had the exact same illness that I had. So sometimes when we had to do treatments over the weekend, we would be in the same room. And so we would ask each other questions about, you know, the medication. And the treatments that we were doing, it was making her hair come out, but it was making my hair grow and my nails grow. And so she would ask me, she would say, you know, how come it makes your hair come, make my hair come out? And I'm like, I don't know, you know. But, you know, now that I look back on it, that was back to what she was saying about you could take the medication, but, you know, if y'all don't want those things, you don't have those type of effects, then you won't have them. You have the complete opposite. And so that's one thing I want to say.
Okay. Yeah, so, you know, so that's the, so that's the thing, and we understand whichever way y'all lead us to do things, everything is still in his hand. He's in control, because if he's not the source, it doesn't matter what we do. And that's one of the things that he was showing me, because I'm like, okay, y'all, I don't like traditional medicine. They're harmful to the body. I like staying doing natural things and stuff like that. But it's like all these natural things will work to a certain extent. But then at the same time, I knew that I was doing some things. I call it getting behind the eight ball of trying to do some healthy things. And those healthy things was harmful. And so I got to find that balance by the wisdom of Yah to know how to operate within the boundaries of it. One thing that he showed me is that both time I've gotten behind the eight ball, what I mean by that, really kind of got the feeling really badly is when I went in the hospital, you know, a while back, I noticed that I had, you remember when you Renita and I went to Walmart and got that Epsom salt soap. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I got a couple of bottles there, and I was showering with that on a daily basis. And I remember around that time frame, I was doing that. I was eating sauerkraut every day, which has salt in it. And then I love green olives. And so I was just doing a combination of some things. But I kept remembering every time I would bathe in the Epsom salt soap, it's like I would feel strange. Well, here recently, you know, I was really sore and stuff and working out at different times. So I started taking an Epsom salt bath, and that's when I kind of got behind the eight ball again. I kept saying, seemed like instead of me feeling better, I'm starting to feel worse, because I had just came off the fruit and vegetable diet. So I was feeling really good, you know, feeling really good, sleeping well, everything was fine. And then when I started doing the Epsom salt, soaking in it, just sitting in the soaking, I started noticing these things start to happen again, and it kind of put me behind the eight ball. So there's something in Epsom salt, although it's good, it's some good things in there. There's something in there that's not good for me, and I don't quite know what it is. I just need to know. I need to figure it out and not deal with it in large quantities, you know, because I had got to the point where I would get in it each time I. Get a good workout in. I just get in it. Some days I just get in it because I like the feel of it. It actually makes me feel good. But it's something going on with it.
Maybe too much.
And that's what I believe. That's what I believe it is. I believe I'm overdoing it. I'm overdosing on it. I believe I was overdosing it because, you know, there were times when I was doing the soap. You know, sometimes I take two or three baths a day. And so when you're doing that, you're taking in quite a bit. It
can't be your every time.
Yeah. Yeah. I would go to the building, come back, take a shower. I take a shower before I go to the gym. Take a shower when I get back and get in the bed. You know, and so using that quite a bit. And then when I was sitting in it, you know, they said, put a cup in there. I just, you know.
So
I'm like, okay, I got to do that in moderation. And if I'm gonna do an Epsom salt, I might need to do that bad boy, you know, maybe once a week or once a month or something like that. We done with it. I was the Upsaw King, bro. I used Deanna's and then used mine.
That's the problem.
Yeah, and so it sent me behind the eight ball. Now, once I get behind it, it take me longer to recover than it did to get me there. And so that's what I've been dealing with, you know, these past, 2 weeks or so. And then it didn't help because right at the time when I started doing it, my stomach is pretty much back to normal. And what I mean by pretty much is that when I was really going through at its worst stage, I couldn't eat that much. Plus I got an ab routine that's something serious, and so it always kept my ab real tight, and I couldn't eat a lot. Well, once I started dealing with this stuff, I kind of bagged off the abs, doing them the way I was doing, and bagged off from running like I was doing. And as a result of it, my stomach was getting better, so I started eating more. So, in a month's time, I picked up 40 pounds. I went from around 192 to 195 range. I stayed consistent around there, weighing in at 231 last night. You know, so I'm almost 240 short, like I always be teasing people about. And so I'm just not used to carrying that kind of weight anymore. And so with the digestive system not being right again, and then the extra 40 pounds, it ain't working for me at all. So it's going to take me a little longer to recover because I got to get the weight back off once I can get back to the gym and once I can get back on the treadmill and stuff like that. So it's a slow process. But as Haya mentioned, just do what y'all need you to do, and we're going to support you and understand that there ain't nothing going to happen to you. Well, I understand all those things. She just reminded me. And she showed me an angle that I had to take a look at, when things are really out of whack as far as the way that mine is right now. I may have to take a blood pressure medicine, for at least a period of time to get everything under control. I don't know. I'm trying to figure everything out by the leading of the Spirit of Yah as we go. So, so I wanted to share that with you. You have something?
I know with, because I deal with the same thing as far as the blood pressure. And it's like, with you dealing with so much, and your blood pressure may not be high, but it causes your heart to overwork and the blood flow. That's what my doctor told me. She said, even when your blood is not, your blood pressure isn't high, she said, it almost feels like anxiety, where your chest get tight, your breathing. That's why I was like, I would ask you certain questions and see what your response was. And that will regulate. Because I had started back, because I was like you. I'm like, I ain't taking me pill, I got faith, God gone. And then so what Mahaya told you, it resonated with me. So I had started back taking mine. And I noticed that my chest had started to loosen up. My breathing had got a lot better. Because I was doing like you. I would wake up while I'm sleeping. I'm like, Lord, please don't let me die. Please don't let me die, God. I ain't ready to go yet. Because that's the way I was feeling. Because my breath, the shortness of breath. And that's why I will. When we was up at the building, I was like, okay, something ain't right. Why are you breathing like that? And everything. And then he got to tell me about his body. And you noticed the other day when I called you, and I was like, I hit around about the blood pressure medicine. And you're like, I don't want to. And I was like, okay, let me chill. Let me back up a little bit. And then I said, Lord, you're going to have to fix this to where, because they give me so much of the same medicine that you take. And I was like, well, I got the same mess, the same quarantine, everything, the same amount that he was taking. So, like, if you don't want to die, I got the same pill.
Now here's what I want to say to you and Rev Stan, because you mentioned at the building. And the reason why Yah didn't allow me to stop that guy, even when he was down in the basement, he started running about it, and that's when brother-in-law got to him, and you ran up. The reason why Yah didn't allow me to do anything, because you remember as he was bowed his head, so coming at me, you remember I pointed a gun at his head. I started popping in it, but Yah held me back from doing it, and then wouldn't allow me to wrestle with him. because at that particular time, y'all was like, you're not physically able to be, you know, be wrestling around with somebody right now, although you could have overcame him, but there's some thing going on with your physical body, you down in that basement, and there's not a lot of air down there, right. You create some situation. That's why when I finally got up there, you said, why you open the door? I said, I'm trying to breathe. You know, because that was my priority. So certain things y'all didn't allow to happen, and I don't know if I told y'all, but he left his bag, and his name is on an inhaler thing in the bag, so I know who it is. You know, and so that just reminded me of that when you said that, and y'all was like, okay, that's the reason why I held you back. So I said it to say this. I deal with a lot of stressful situations. Now I handle stress really well. Things don't bother me, but at the same time, it's way y'all show me is this. When I played football, those were stressful situations because I was looking at an opponent, trying to conquer that opponent, and although it didn't affect my mental state, it affects you physically. When you're in a battle zone and dealing with situations all the time, although you can mentally handle it, it takes some stress on your physical body.
Physical toll.
Yeah. And so y'all was like, Lon, you've been dealing with some stressful situations since 1994.
Right.
Since you started the church. Week after week, y'all think about this. You know, when we was in the storefront, you know, it was always things. We went in the church building. We had to battle with the church those years. You know, it's just always been one thing after another. We get the building, had to start fighting copper thieves and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, and still dealing with things to a certain extent now. And so all these years, I've been constantly dealing with stressful situations, and it's taking a toll on the physical body, although I can handle it mentally. Physically, it's starting to show. And so that, you know, those are things that's going on. We have to learn how to control, so I say it from this perspective, we have to learn how to not only control mental stress, but physical stress. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to learn how to control physical stress. And so so dealing with those things all this period of time is really taking a toll. That's why I want to go ahead and get through with this project, get that physical stress off of me and off of us and things like that. We can just focus on what y'all's called us to do. We'll always deal with situations one fast or another, but he's just showing me how to regulate certain things and to understand. You know, I was even sharing with my family earlier. I was like, listen, I said, you know, as far as I can remember, I've always been the one to try to do, you know, try to do for others, as I mentioned earlier. I said, but you know, cause I drove the Lana car and I got out and I just left everything. Even I was talking to you and I told you, and I said, hey, I said, I need to use the restroom real quick. And so, I just left everything in the car, and then I happened to come to the door. I said, can you go out there and get all my stuff? Cause I had a lot of stuff in the car. And, you know, when I ask somebody to do something like that, I ain't feeling right. And so, you know, so they've been doing their, you know, they've been doing their part. Everybody else has been doing theirs. And I just want you to know that, I appreciate the stuff like that because it's difficult for me because I ain't never been the type that had to slow down and had to say, well, here, you know, take my bag or can you go down the stairs, you know. Brother, I was fixing the door. You know, I got out there to do it. I was like, oh, no. It ain't going to happen. Brother-in-law is a brother-in-law, man. You had to fix the door. So he got out there, fixed the door. You know, he had always wrestled with the guy, was bleeding and all that. And, you know, but I was just one filling up to even just kneeling down, screwing a screw in the bottom of the door. You know, little things that's simple with me and stuff like that. And so it's just one of the processes by which I got to go through to get where y'all want me to, you know, me to be. So I wanted to, you know, share that with y'all. And I didn't use no scriptures, nothing like that. What scripture we can use? Bro said it earlier, though. Hey, you consider my son a Job. You know, he was like, he
and
said.
Also, what about Moses? Like, you got to let us hold your hands up, too. You got to realize you can't do everything, because it's like, if the head messed up, you kind of messing up the body. So you got to let the body help, you know. Hold you up.
Look, I need a check for $100,000 for the night somewhere.
Because I understand that sometimes I'll be like, since you okay? Because you her husband, you her soulmate, so she sees stuff we don't even see. And it's like, I be watching her sometimes and see how her face looking and stuff and everything. Because, you know, you have love bone.
Yep, so.
Interracial.
You know, so this is, you know, so this is where we are, you know, and I wanted to share, but like I said, as I came in, bro didn't know he was already on the subject. Because he said, people might not understand this. He said, but y'all is doing you like he did Job, and he going to bless you in the end of this, you know. You know, in a nutshell, he said, devil probably went to him and said, let me test him. I bet he cursed you and gone. He said, but Joe hung in there and did a little complaining. He said, but, you know, you've been hanging in there and you ain't been complaining and stuff like that. I said, well, so that's our subject lesson. Just remember Joe. Go to, you know, remember Joe. And he's just a witness by which we all should stand, even when we're going through, you know, sickness and disease. He's our example. Okay, and so that's all I wanted to do. I just wanted to be transparent, just share with you guys what I had on my heart, and we just go from there. You know, no matter what, we just keep our trust in Yah, even when we have to do some things that we don't want to do. You know, because I'm old school. And I'm a firm believer in natural things. But at the same time, I'm more firm in my belief in Yah. And whichever way he take, you know, that's the way we'll sell it. Even we have to, because, you know, you was telling me, you said you had to do some things as far as diabetic medicine for a while. And then you ain't do it no more. It's not bothering you, whatever. Well, that's what I'm talking about. You know, he had to do what he had to do. And then once he straightened him out to a certain extent, then he allowed the herbs to kick in. Well, I did the same thing. I took it for a while, and then once it straightened me out, then I started doing the herbs and natural thing, but I went back and got behind the eight ball. That's the mistake I made. You know? And so I got to remember those things and put that in my lung. You can't do that. Epsom salt like that, boy. What?
Can't overdo it.
Yeah.
Like once a week.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. That's about it, boy, you know. And that's what I was doing. So that's what got me back behind there, and I understand it, and I just got to just go through the, keep saying process, just go through the process and allow it to happen in y'all's timing. Okay. All right. Well, that was your message, Haya. And so I give you an offer here tonight. But I mean, that's all I have. I got an announcement to make after the recording, but I'm not going to put it on the recording. You know, any questions, comments? We're good? Okay. Father Yah, we just bless your name. We thank you for this lesson. We just pray, and I pray that everyone leave out with clear understanding that our trust is completely in you, no matter what we have to deal with, and no matter how we have to deal with it. And we just bless you for that, and we thank you for the love that you have for us to reveal it to us and even to remind us. In the name of Yahushua, we pray. Amen.
Amen.